preach or not this morning. But anyway, I've enjoyed it. We had a good week together. And you pray God will have His way now in this final service this morning. And I'll probably mention this again later, but thank you for everything that you've done. We got a long way to go. We're headed to Jacksboro, Tennessee, Careville, for the meeting tonight. About a 5-hour run after we leave here. So you pray God will help us and bless us. Our exodus will be pretty quick. I'm going to change clothes and get on the road. And if you want somebody to talk to, just see Brother Ruckman. He'll talk till your ears fall off. But anyway, I love this family. Love all these families. But I've enjoyed it. I appreciate all that the Lord's done. You pray God will help us and the Lord will use us for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do pray for these missionaries. I would add this as well, not taking away what they said. But there are two missionaries who are first cousins on a flight home today from South Africa to bury their grandmother. Brother Mark Coffey and Brother Kevin Hall out of Brother Wayne Cofield's church there in Dalton. Their grandmother's been sick now for a week or so, well, for some time. Been in the hospital for the last maybe 2 weeks. And so she passed away and they're on the way home. It's not always easy being on the mission field. But God's always God. And the Lord knows what He's doing. And you pray for Him, God would bless and have His way. I'd ask you to pray for my daughter. My youngest daughter has had porphyria for 20 years. They tell us there is no medical help. There's no medical hope. It's her own, let me get my word right, it's her own anti-immune system turned against her, destroying her. And she's at home probably weeping this morning, not able to be in church. And her husband and sons hopefully got to go on to Sunday school this morning, church. You pray for them. Pray for our family there. God would touch her and bless her. Lord's will be done. Let's stand together, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And I want to just review, but we'll read first. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I am given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve of your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the study of the Word of God for the remainder of the Sunday school hour. Our precious Heavenly Father, again thou, dear Lord, at the throne of grace and mercy, in Jesus' name, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank you again. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me, Lord, by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You have kept me there all these years. Thank you, our Father, today that I know the living Lord. I serve a risen Savior. I'm glad, dear Lord, I can say with Job that I know that my Redeemer liveth. Lord, I'm so thankful I can say that unhesitating, without fear. Lord, I can say it because of your blessings upon my life. Father, I pray now you'll work in our lives. Help us to realize to whom much is given, much is required. Lord, while we have this liberty, I pray, dear Lord, that we'll not use it as an occasion to the flesh, but in love to serve one another as you teach us in the Word of God. Help us now, Lord, in this hour. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this morning for the study of the Word of God. Now, it would be impossible for me to review everything that I've covered during these nights of the services from Wednesday night down to now. But I want to just deal with this one aspect that I began on Friday night on reaping this harvest. And I said to you, we need mighty power. Somebody got to get a hold of God. We need manpower. Somebody got to go. And we need money power. Somebody got to give, and that may have been Thursday night I started that, but Friday night then, I began dealing with this aspect of it, of what the Bible teaches about giving. And I said to you, the Bible teaches three types of giving. Number one, the Word of God teaches that we are to tithe. Number two, the Bible teaches we're to give free will offerings. And number three, the Bible teaches we're to give missions offering. Give to meet the need of others, serving the Lord in other places. That's the occasion that we're out here. Now, very briefly, and I just say this, the tithe, of course, is the first 10% of our income. It does not belong to us, it belongs to God. were to separate his from ours, bring it to church, put it in the offering plate, dedicate it to God. If it comes to church's money, it's God's tithe and it's God's method of paying the bills of the normal financing, the normal operation of the local church. And I don't have time to go any farther than that. But in number two, we learn that the mission offering, that the second type of giving, is the free will offering. We learn the free will offering does not come out of God's 10%, but out of our 90%. And we learn that the free will offering was set up in the Word of God for special needs that arises in the life and ministry of the work of God. And God allows us to get in on both of those tithes and free will. As a matter of fact, He commands us to do so. And then, but God gives us a promise with our giving of the Lord's tithe. Now, watch me just a moment. God teaches us in the Word of God, if we would tithe, He'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that there's not room enough to receive. And I said to you the other night, it's a great day when you learn you can do more with God's blessings on 90% than you can God's judgment on the 100%. And you can learn God will bless them that bless Him, honor them that honor Him. Now, I said this, and let me say it again. You cannot outgive God, but neither can you outrob God. It works both ways. God will be the victor and be honored in what we do. And so we learn about tithing. We learn about the free will offering. God said if you give a free will offering, then God said, give and it shall be given unto you. I want you to listen to this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men heap into your bosom. Again, it is a win-win situation when you learn to give unto the Lord. But then thirdly, and here's what our interest is, not only there is the tithe that takes care of paying the bills, the normal operation, taking care of the man of God, his family, and the facility here. Free will offerings for special needs that arises in the life and ministry of the church. But here we have a giving that you and I would call missions giving, though that word's not in the Bible. But in this missions giving, it is money that is collected by the church, but not for the church. It's collected by the church to be distributed by the church, those that are serving God in other places. And I pointed out to you four things from this text here in verse number 2 and 3 and 4. Number one, we saw that this giving to missions is to be systematic giving upon the first day of the week. And I say again, as I said before several times, it's not that God's after our money. God is trying to install character in us and build in us a faithfulness to be dependable in the service of God. Systematic giving upon the first day of the week. Number two, we learn it to be total involvement. God said, let every one of you, and that includes all of us, it excludes none. Number three, we learn that mission giving is to be given to the local church and distributed by the authority of the local church. Missions is church business. Can I get an amen? By the way, if you don't know this, God's a local church God. You say, well, preacher, I belong to the invisible church. There's probably some of those invisible members sitting close by you. You might need to move over a little. You might be sitting in somebody's lap. They usually pay invisible tithes. They show up invisible on the Sunday school hour and visitation night and all that. But God's a local church God. What I'm saying is the church is God's agency through which He works. And that does not mean I'm anti-mission board when I say that. But I'm saying the mission giving is to go through the local church and distribute it by the authority of the local church. And by the way, not the denominational Daddy Rabbits, but by the leadership of the local church. So it's systematic giving, total involvement, given to the local church and distributed by the local church according as God has prospered you. And then last night in our study, we went to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you'll come there, please. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 1 through verse number 5, or verse number 6, we saw the examples of the churches of Macedonia. And in this study of the Word of God last night, I pointed out to you this situation. You have the churches of Macedonia, which is the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi. And also in this chapter, you have the church at Corinth, to whom the apostle is addressing this letter. They go into this famine. The church at Corinth stops giving the missions, and the church dies. The churches of Macedonia take the decision that we're not going to stop as long as God will provide. We'll give the money to missions. They go into the same famine, and you know what happens? They're able, God supplies them, enables them to give to missions, keep their missions giving going. But at the same time, God blesses them financially there in the local church, and then revival breaks out. I mean, they're shouting it out in that great time of famine. And so we looked as Paul was approached by the Corinthian church as if to say, what's going on over there? Paul said, you're seeing the grace of God. And he comes down to saying this, let this be an example. Witnesses and learn from it. And we learn four things about them. In verse number 5, we learn that they gave their person first to the Lord. I want to say again, God's not after our money. God's after us. But if He gets us, He gets our money as well. Then number 2, we learned that when they gave their person first to the Lord, that they gave out of their poverty. They did not wait until better days come to start giving. And I want to say this, if you wait till you feel like you can give to missions, you probably will never give much to missions. But if you learn that there's a God in heaven that loves the world enough and wants them to hear the gospel enough that He will supply funds through you, you start giving by faith and watch God supply through you. And God will let you, like He did them, shout it out. Even in your poverty, they gave out their person first, they gave out their poverty. And this crowd, as I said last night, got drunk on the grace of giving. They wanted to give more than they could give. Then last night I pointed out to you that verse number 3, but I did not get to verse 4 last night, so let's look at it real quickly. They not only gave their person first to the Lord, they gave out their poverty, verse number 2, they gave beyond their power in verse number 3, but now then in verse number 4, they gave as partners. Look at verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, look at me just a moment. These words were pinned down by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul and everything else that we could put a title on him. I think if you're a student of the Word of God, you have no problem identifying Paul and his team as missionaries. Can I get an amen there? I just want that to soak in. They're missionaries. So here you have, I was trying to get Brother Rickman to wake up, that's what I was trying to do. Here you have the church, are you ready for this? Begging the missionary, take our money. That is exactly opposite of our day. I dare say, and I know it happened because of previous experience and meeting, but I dare say most of these missionaries can stand up and testify that they are not flooded with phone calls begging them take their support from a church. Now then, it's a missionary calling. And I literally, I don't like using this word, but he almost becomes a beggar. Right. On the phone, could we come? Could we go? And by the way, let me say this. When a missionary gives you a prayer card, they are not passing out family portraits. Amen. What you should be able to see when you look at a prayer card ought to be four letters. H-E-L-P. Help!
Yes.
Help us. But here's a church at Macedonia. Look at your Bible now, verse number 4. The Bible said, praying us with much entreaty. I'm telling you, if I could use a good southern expression, that's twisting the arm. Begging us, praying us with much entreaty. Watch this. That we would receive the gift. That's not some charismaniac gift. That's money. But then in receiving that money, look at this, and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. So Paul is saying that they gave his partners, they're begging us, receive the money, but with the receiving of what you and I call support, there is a connection, there's a partnership that's formed. And they're going to take up on the mission, they're going to take up on them the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, there's something very interesting in here. I'm going to give two or three things, but I want to mention this first of all. When I first caught this, it blew my mind. Ministering to the saints. I grew up with the idea that missionaries ministered to sinners. No. Come back next year and I'll tell you the rest of the story. They preach the gospel to sinners, but they minister to the sinning churches. Now, I am not hinting when I say this. I'm not suggesting. I'm making simply an illustration that everybody can understand. We've got with us today Brother Cole, headed up into Appleton, Minnesota. We just heard from him. If you've been here through the week, we've met the Ruckman family, headed to Ghana, West Africa. We have the Faulkner family headed over to the Ukraine, and we've got Brother back there headed over there. There are literally a reason I have to say it that way, but you know who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. But you know what these fellas want to do? They want to partner with you. You know what they want to do? They want to help you get the blood of those lost people there, wherever they're going, off of your hands. You see, the Great Commission is not given to missionaries going to all the world and preaching God. It's given to local churches. And how can we do this? Well, we could buy, can I use a good southern expression, we could buy a bunch of plane tickets and ship preacher out here every Monday to another country and say, boy, we're going in all the world. His wife would enjoy that for a few weeks, I'm sure, but it would get old after a while. But you could never reach the world like that. So what do? We form a partnership. We form an alliance with these missionaries. We take them on, is the expression that we use. And they go preach for us. Now, I know they preach for God. Don't make me say something I'm not saying. But they go as our partners. They're laboring for us. I just got to do this. I get to do this about every week. Usually I do it on Saturday night. I didn't do it last night, so I'm going to do it this morning. I'm not putting our mission program above yours, preacher. I know ours is why I'm using this. And we've been doing missions, faith promise missions. I've been preaching for 32 years at the church I'm a member of now on missions, and they were doing it before I went there to some degree. But anyway, God's blessed our church. We now help support over 340 missionaries a year, somewhere in that area. I mean, a month. Support them every month. We just some regular monthly support that we help them. And our mission program, and by the way, you don't have to have nearly this many missionaries for this to happen, but our missionary program can be stated, the sun never sets on. Any day of the 24 hour, any hour of the 24 hour you want to, you know, it may be dark here, but it's daylight somewhere else. Never sets on it. So you know what happened yesterday evening? Australia and Papua New Guinea, now we've had this time change and it messes me up in a lot of ways, but with the Eastern Standard Time, normal procedure, Australia and Papua New Guinea are 15 hours ahead of us. So you know what happened? That means yesterday evening at 7 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock Sunday morning in Australia and Papua New Guinea. So what that means is at 7 o'clock yesterday evening, they started our Sunday school. I did say our Sunday school. I wasn't a rebuke. I'm emphasizing. Our Sunday school. Oh, in Papua New Guinea, you ought to see them pictures now. Things changing on, they build and get them going. But they get over there and they'll take an old blue plastic tarp and they'll stretch it between four poles, look like almost it's not even as decent as a graveyard tent is, you know. But anyway, and there's a beginning where they start them work. Sister Susan, get out there under one of those trees and have a little kid's Sunday school class. jump over into Australia, same time zone, and there they are having our Sunday school. Come over into Korea, brother, I think 13 hours ahead of us when the time is right. And so that means at 9 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the missionaries in Korea started our Sunday school hour. An hour later, we jumped over to Japan. And at 10 o'clock last night, they started our Sunday school. And I got to stop there, but just say from 10 o'clock all the way around to 6 o'clock this morning, to 5 o'clock this morning, they started our Sunday school. Now then, when we get through here, Central Time will kick in an hour later. Mountain Time, 12 here, 10 out there, Mountain Time, 1 here, 10 out there on the Western Coast Pacific Time, 2 o'clock here, then our missionaries in Alaska start our Sunday school. I discovered we have church over 30 hours every Sunday. Sunday night service comes in behind. So if you were to call my pastor tomorrow morning and ask him how many he had in Sunday school, you know what he'd have to say? I don't know. The report's not all in. How many got saved? Yes, the preacher. I don't know the report. What I'm saying is missions hooks you up on the little end of something big. You become laborers together. Y'all excuse me a minute. I'm about to have a spell. While I slept last night, somebody got saved, and it's accredited to my account. While I was asleep last night, somebody probably surrendered to preach. Minister to the saints. I can speak personally. I feel such an awesome responsibility. Our radio bill runs nearly $6,000 a month, and people from all over the country and churches help us pay the radio bills. And when I sit down there at that radio microphone, it's not just me that I'm laboring for. I do want to be faithful. I do want to crown at the judgment seat of Christ for being faithful. But I must realize that it's not just me. I am administering to the saints that support the radio ministry as well as to those that listen. So many people look at missionaries as strangers who come to our church, get our money, go their way and do their thing. But not so. They're our friends. They're not our enemies. They're not our opposition. They're our co-laborers, and they help us. And we labor together. Every missionary that you take on. Can I use this illustration? Think banking a moment. I'm just making a simple illustration we understand. But in your city of Greenfield, if a certain area starts developing, businesses start building, houses start, you know, the big bank is not going to sit downtown and say, boy, they're really doing something out there. We'll take care of them if they'll come down here. No, that big bank's going to go out here and open up a branch office right in the smack dab middle of it. And it don't divide the bank. It don't start a new bank. It just opens a branch office. Every missionary you support is literally opening a branch office of Victory Baptist Church and carrying on the same business. And the profits go into the same pot. It's all the same work. For the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pointed this out the first night, and y'all done run me past time back. I'm going to blame you for it. But I pointed this out the first night. God connects together the church and the missionary and forms what I like to call a holy triangle. A heavenly triangle. And we're laborers together with God. So they gave their person first to the Lord. They gave out of their poverty. They gave beyond their power. And they gave as partners. Stop looking at missionaries as strangers who come to our church, get our money, go their way and do their thing. But look at them as bringing opportunity for you and I to partner together. Yoke up together. And together reap reward here and reap reward at the judgment seat of Christ in the work of missions. We'll continue the next hour. Father, thank you for your word. Use it to your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I'm through.